everyone.
Quest Youth Radio continues the journey in the history, definitions, and music, presented by our student hosts, Justin Hill and Walter Pierce. And although Walter Pierce will not be with us this morning, Justin Hill, the real deal, will be holding it down. And he's going to provide his insightful information on our history and the impact that it has had on our world today. Now, I'd like to start out by saying music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking each and every one of our listeners to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. I'd like to start out by having our panelists say good morning. And starting with the Black Librarian, Mr. Davis, good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day today. Good morning. I woke up feeling good. Hope everybody feels the same.
Absolutely. And good morning, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, bright moment, family. It is a beautiful day.
Absolutely. And Tanisha Gardner, good morning.
Hey, everybody. Like you said, today is a beautiful day. Everybody have a good day also after this.
Okay. And more importantly, our student host, I'm going to let you take it away. The real deal, Justin Hill, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And Justin, you can start out with your first segment and lead us off onto our journey.
I want to thank God for listening to my first segment of Diamonds and against the student host, Justin Hill, on WSOU. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on David Walker. David Walker was born September 28, 1796. He was an American abolitionist, writer, and anti-slavery activist. In 1829, while living in Boston, Massachusetts, with the assistance of the African Grand Lodge, later named Prince Hall Grand Lodge, he published an appeal to the colored citizens of the world, a call for black unity and a fight against slavery. The appeal brought attention to the abuses and inequalities of slavery and the responsibility of individuals to act according to religious and political principles. At the time, some people were fearful of the reaction that the pamphlet would provoke. Southern citizens were particularly upset with Walker's viewpoints, and as a result, there were laws banning circulation in North Carolina. Legislature enacted the most repressive measures ever passed in North Carolina to control slaves and free blacks. His son, Edgar G. Walker, was an attorney and in 1866 was one of the first two black men elected to the Massachusetts state legislature. And the reason why I chose David Walker is because he was an abolitionist and he was an anti-slavery activist. And I think it's just really important to know him and his past because he was a slavery activist. And that is it for my diamond segment. Again, this is Studio Host Justin Hill, WSOU.
All right. Now, instead of going straight to a song,
I want to bring in the panelists, starting out with Tanisha Gardner, and just make any comment that you might have as it pertains to David Walker.
Yeah, thank you. That was very interesting. I definitely want to learn more. I guess I was, you know, just trying to do my own little research. And I just wanted to say that strategically, how can we use it now, and especially how Walker, I guess what I'm trying to say is that how Walker actually worked with the sellers and the ship's officers, and how he systematically transferred the pamphlets to the southern ports, and that's how he was able to get his information out. And I think that is so prevalent, and it's like, how do we compare what our ancestors did to now with strategies on how do we get the word out and how do we organize, you know, our communities? And I think that's very prevalent, and it's like, how do you teach someone or get it out that they can be able to create the change within their own communities?
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good point.
As we continue to chop this thing up that's been presented by Justin, we're going to continue. Mr. Harris, a comment as it pertains to David Walker.
Well, yeah, well, there were two things that really popped in my head. First was the fact that he wasn't just talking to the slave owners in America. He was talking about Africans across the whole diaspora being freed from the colonialism that was going on all around the world. That was important. And also the other point that I kind of got out of that was that he wasn't against people fighting for their freedom. You know, even though he didn't necessarily advocate violence as a retaliatory type thing, it was more like you have to be a man. You have to stand up for yourself, and you have to be able to take what's given to you if this is really what you want. And, you know, that's very important. Like Tanisha was saying, there are some things that some ideas transcend time. And as long as we're begging our oppressor for freedom, we're never going to get it, because that's not how he was able to get his freedom from his oppressor. And, you know, we have to be willing to see if it's willing to live for it, or are you willing to die for it? So that was very important.
Wow. Deep and very important to mention.
As we continue, we're going to bring in Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, you've heard Justin's information on David Walker. And, you know, no secret, you do have a little information that we might not be privy to. So go ahead and give us your comment.
Well, David Walker's appeal is something that was mandated to read while in college. And I'm familiar with the pamphlet. I read the pamphlet, and I'm familiar with the individual. We have to understand, in looking at David Walker's appeal, David Walker was born in 1796, and he passed away in 1830, August 6th of 1830. So that makes him 33 years of age. So when he wrote this pamphlet, and some people call this the seditious publication. He wrote this pamphlet as an abolitionist and journalist who was influenced not just by himself. If you're familiar with the history, the first black newspaper in the country was called Freeman's Journal. Freeman's Journal was actually published by John Rushburn. So now when we put this in historical content, David Walker's Appeal. David Walker's Appeal was written after the numerous rebellions that had taken place in the country. The rebellion of Gabriel Prosser, the rebellion of there's so many different rebellions. The rebellion against between the Indians and the traditional people in Florida, and the blacks. Gabriel Prosser. So there's so many different rebellions that have taken place prior to this actual publication. And when we look at this publication has set fear across the country. Because not only did we talk about rebellion, there was engagements of rebellion. Nat Turner, serious rebellions in this country. So this publication had to be shared secretly, you know. And he was one of the major editors of David Walker for Freeman's Journal, the first black publication. This publication was actually published, and when the argument was in terms of the country, in terms of the Congress, of whether or not blacks should go back to Africa. And the argument was settled that blacks can't go back to Africa because if blacks go back to Africa, then who's going to engage in the slaveocracy in America? Who's going to actually grow the crops? Who's going to do this and do that? It would have broken the country. And the place that they wanted to go back in 1847, after he passed away, Liberia. Liberia was created from when Monrovia was president, and they advocated for blacks to go back to Africa. Very important key points in terms of the history and in terms of what happened. This publication set a ripple effect across the country. To have been found with this publication, they would sew it in people's coats and have it travel from northern part of United States to the southern parts. If you were caught with this particular publication, then you would actually could have been killed because it was considered seditious and against the slaveocracy, the laws, the black code, the laws that was actually created to make sure that we stayed enslaved and stayed in line and stayed in view with what was asked for or what was mandated by the slave master. So this was a very brave brave act that could have gotten him killed, his family killed. You know, it's a great thing that he had a son that actually became a lawyer, a noted lawyer. But this could have gotten series of people in this country killed with this publication here. So he did something that was tremendous, despite the odds. Thank you.
Wow. And I'll just do a bookend and say there's a statement that says, I'd rather die on my feet than perish on my knees as a slave. And so that being said, we're going to continue musically with the Town of the Roots, which is our musical curtain for today. And we're going to continue. Justin, great job. And thank you from all the panelists. And we'll hear from you again in just a moment. And right now, musically, we continue. You're tuned to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio.
True, true, do synthesis. soul miss a link. What could MCs who listen think? It's black thought, open your eyes and don't blink. Yo, to rock this mic is like a basic instinct, but I'm intro, do sick.
Behind knees, I'm like champion, more than a steppy on. I'm sweating me, begging me just to get me on. Macro cosmic, micro max.
Hey yo, I'm off a way, still feel lay. People wanna see the way the Illadel play. Yo, look in the mirror, watch what yourself say. I'm from SP, no mortal man can test me. Thought I keep a lining in, upper echelonian. Heineken, hold the rhyming and flows, reminding them cats to hear me. A submission from back in the past, you half stepping ahead. Could never fathom a grasp,
cause hey yo, we got a doctorate in cold rocking it. Bringing this apocalypse, nigga, you mad topical. If my rap's tricks, your optical, this is superficial. I'm ripping apart your heart tissue. This is your official dismissal. I don't study the artificial. Up with the dark crystal, yo, what art is you? I'm moving like a smart missile. Aimed and guaranteed to hit you.
When a fifth do get on to perform, you went for it. It ain't no way to censor it. My style metaphoric. The bricks and 10-ton stacks hard to lift. The artist coming out the fifth darkness.
We go back like ancient. While you ain't this subterranean. Live against the gradient. Afro-American slash half-gradient. In your universe, my star's the most radiant.
Yeah.
Submission is denied, so just wait outside. Two extremes collide like Jekyll and Hyde. And I provide you with the swerve you need, but take heed, you travel at light speed. Iller than adventures you might read. Official original breed, the Justice League. Yo, it's the P5D style fashionist. Other MCs, they actresses.
Yo, Mr. High Post, you about to get shot down. Trying to fly above the Silla Fifth compound. You know since the get-go, I rock your disco. Ain't nobody better, but yo, you get my gist. So see, I represent, so you gotta squint. As far as how I really do it, you incognizant. We cause a new sense and getting decent to save you 2 cents. Don't come in my district, kicking
yeah,
out.
Yo, it's just all simplistic, limited, click it. Lyrically lifted, touching the fitness. Trenches up, mentally twisted, you enlisted. Why was the emblem on the mic you got hit
and with? And I stop, yeah, till you call me conqueror. Back slapping all them hips and slap. Thinking that Elo could ever disappear. I'm stripping a veneer with this 9-8-3 for crop.
I must give credit where it's due for our musical director, which is Mr. Shelton Harris. Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. And as we continue, I'd like to first give our phone number out. Now, every one of you, including the panelists, to call in and give suggestions. And that number is 973-692-6035. That number again is 973-692-6035. Now, we either use the number or lose the number, okay? So that's where we are. Now, that being said, you know, many times, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, and more particularly you adults out there, you're never too old to learn.
Now, it said when you're green, you're growing, and when you're grown, you're definitely rock. And so that being said, once again, it's time for another Aesop fable. Now, give me a moment. This particular fable is titled The Donkey and the Purchaser. It seems that a man who wanted to buy a donkey went to the market and coming across a likely-looking beast, arranged with the owner that he should be allowed to take him home on a trial to see what he was like. And when he reached home, he put him into the stable along with the other donkeys. The newcomer took a look around and immediately went and chose a place next to the laziest and greediest beast in the stable. Now, when the master saw this, he put a halter on him at once and led him off and headed him over to his owner again. He later was a good deal surprised to test it. The latter was a good deal surprised to see him back so soon. And so what do you mean to say you have tested him already? I don't want to put him through any more tests, replied the owner. And I could see that what sort of beast he is from the companion he chose for himself. Now, let me just rephrase this whole story, okay, because I'm trying to go between two things at one time. So you have a donkey that's being sold. The guy takes the donkey home, but he says, I want to test him out. And the donkey goes to the greediest and the laziest donkey in the stable, right? So the purchaser takes him back and says, no, that's okay. I don't want him, right? He won't fit, not a good fit. So what do you think Justin, I'm going to try you. And remember, I don't know is a real good answer if you don't know. What do you think the moral of this particular story is? Justin, you first.
I think it's never. I don't know.
Okay. No, that's okay. That's a good answer. Because a lot of people don't know how to say that. And that's how we find out. That's how we learn. Tanisha, I'm coming to you. What do you think the lesson in or the moral of this particular story is?
Definitely pay attention to people's actions because their actions will tell you, or the characteristics in their character will tell you what type of, I guess, person or animal they are. Just a simple fact that he went to the animal that was the greediest and the laziest. And it's like, why was he attracted to that? As they say, birds of a feather flock together and notice people for who they are and not what you want them to be.
Ooh. There are no right or wrong answers, but that was about right. Mr. Harris, how would you surmise the particular moral of this story?
Well, actually, I would surmise it the same way Tanisha did, because birds of a feather do flock together. And, you find people with similar characteristics and those not the ones you're looking for, then, game over.
All right. And, of course, Mr. Davis, how would you characterize the moral of this particular fable?
I was a bit distracted, to be honest, because I had to pick something up for my son. Can you say it again? Because I want to get it right. I don't want to get it wrong.
Okay. Well, there was a a seller. He was selling donkey. He sold his donkey, and the guy said, well, I want to take it home and test him out first. So he takes the donkey home, and when he puts the donkey in the stable with the other donkeys, he finds out that it goes over and sits next to the greediest and the laziest donkey in the stable. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is people are attracted to people that they like, and people are attracted people. I think that people, places, and things, and whoever you're around, and whatever you engage in, I believe that in life, people will make it, wherever you're at in life, you make it an appointment to be there in thought, word, and deed. And so the donkey that sat next to the greedy donkey made an appointment to be there because he was attracted to that, and that seems like as if that's the type of people that he wants to be around.
Okay. And, you know, without even hesitating, I'm going to say there are no right or wrong answers, but that sounds about right. And as it's written, it says, a man is known by the company that he keeps. Okay? A man is known by the company that he keeps. So be cautious of the company that you keep. Because like Tanisha said, birds of a feather do flock together, right? Now, we want to continue on musically. And then when we come back, Justin, we want to let you continue with your next segment.
Love is just from over 3,000 miles away.
That particular cut is titled Donnie Holiday. And that being said, you're tuned to Quest Youth Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And now it's time for our student host to return with the next segment of Definitions by the Real Deal, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And what he said, it is now time for my next segment of Definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is going to be on the word courage. And courage is a choice to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Valor is courage or bravery, especially in battle. And there is two types of courage called physical courage and moral courage. And physical courage is bravery in the face of physical pain, hardship, even death, or threat of death. While moral courage is the ability to act rightly in the face of popular opposition, shame, scandal, discouragement, or personal loss. And that's my segment of definitions. Again, this is your host, Justin Hill on WSLU, and I thank God for listening.
Okay. Justin, I'm going to come back to you, but before I do, I'm going to go to Ms. Gardner. Tanisha, physical courage, moral courage, what do you think?
You need them all, especially to survive on this earth. Yeah, you definitely have to have courage. You know, I guess I'll say, Justin, yeah, thank you, because I learned a lot today. And I guess when you think about courage, it's like how do you have the strength to stand up? And just the simple fact that we talked about Walker and how much courage and tenacity that he had is astounding. And how, like in our generations, that we definitely have to garner more courage and tenacity and truly stand up for what is right, especially within our communities. And we start taking charge over our communities. That's what I get from courage.
All right. And that's a lot. Mr. Harris, physical courage,
yes.
Moral courage.
Yeah, well, courage itself, in my mind, is dealing with bravery and being able to go into the unknown with the same kind of fervor as you do with the things that you do know. You know, because courage, you know, you block out all the other distractions around you and you just move forward. And this is something that as a whole people lack. You know, we're comfortable in our spot, you know, and we want to just do things to keep us safe. But courage calls for you sometimes to step out of your comfort zone and do things because they're right, not necessarily because they're comfortable.
Okay. Thank you so much for that comment and input. And Mr. Davis, moral courage, physical courage, what do you think?
I think that fear and courage is all in one and the same. I think if you, Tanisha brought up a great important point in terms of David Walker's appeal. But I'm quite sure, because when you engage in war, one of the things that you have to do, war is won by perception and deception. So sometimes in the way in which David Walker distributed his appeal across the country, he had to appear weak. He had to appear that he didn't know what was going on to be able to engage in that particular operation to be successful. So this, because in war, sometimes if you're fighting, you want to make it seem as if you may be scared or you're not ready when you really are to capture one center of gravity during warfare. So courage, fear and courage is one and the same. And being fearful or concerned doesn't mean that you don't move forward. You have to strategically continue to move forward where you can be successful. If David Walker was courageous and went out and told everybody what he was doing in such a way that wasn't strategic, he would not have been successful. So I appreciate the fact that while David Walker actually engaged to produce the appeal, he had to engage in a strategic way where it's successful. Because sometimes being brave and being appearing strong can actually kill an operation. So you have to use strength and weaknesses and perception and deception during warfare to win.
Wow. That's a good layout. Now, Justin, we come back to you to ask you, why did you choose this word courage this week as your definition?
The reason why I chose courage as my definition today is because I feel like everybody has courage inside of them because they stick up for what they believe. They're brave. They just possess courage.
Okay. I guess if I hadn't fed you and you're hungry and you're afraid of me, that hunger would outweigh the fear that you have for me to try to get something to eat, right? So, fear is very important. I'm glad Mr. Davis brought that out. And fear is something I will give an acronym that I just made up, forget everything and rise.
Okay.
Now, I want to take a moment to first of all say that while I am not an expert on mental illness, I am a recipient of someone in my family who was close to me who suffered from mental illness. And mental illness not only affects the person who has it or is going through it, it also affects the family members and friends around them. And that being said, I want to say there is a mental illness or physical substance abuse or any type of problem that you might be facing hotline. And that number is 1-800-662-57. That number, again, just for somebody to talk to, right, is 1-800-622-4357. One more time, 1-800-622-4357. And as we time escapes us and we continue on, Justin, I know you have another word or a phrase that you want to define. So I'm going to hand it back over to you for you to take it away.
Again, this is student host Justin Hill, and I have another definition segment. This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings that we can achieve together, a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on workers' rights, and it is also called the labor movement. They are both legal rights and human rights relating to labor relations and between workers and employers. These rights are codified in national and international labor and employment law. In general, these rights influence working conditions and relations of employment. One of the most prominent is the right to freedom of association, otherwise known as the right to organize. Workers organize and trade unions exercise the right to collective bargaining to improve working conditions. And the reason why I chose workers' rights for my definition segment is because I learned about it in school, and I learned that during slavery, and what people, kids under 19 had to work long hours, and they weren't getting paid for how long they worked. And they formed unions, and they were like protesting because of how long they worked, and they also protested because they wanted a break from working, and then they got a day off to spend time with their family and friends. And that does it for my other definition. Again, the student host just here on WSOU.
We're going to continue this discussion. Workers' rights is what he talked about. Tanisha Gardner, I'm coming back to you first. What do you think about this particular segment and the fact that Justin brought up not only unions but slavery as well?
Yeah, that's prevalent, because where the hell is our reparations? Like, that's crazy. Like all the labor that they did for America and Europe, you know, is and how Africa is being affected, like, is I guess kind of is like a smack in the face, because without us, it will be no empires. So that's something to really think about.
Okay. Thank you for that input. Mr. Harris, we come to you. What do you think about workers' rights and Justin's definition?
Yeah, well, Justin was really spot on when he brought up slavery, because the conditions and stuff that people had to deal with during slavery were tragic. And then when it came to the point where it wasn't just black people that was doing all the work, and there had to be a point where other people in their different communities had to get together and say, yo, this is like enough's enough. You know, they had to have certain safety stuff at the job that wasn't considered under slavery. They had to have correct compensation, which definitely wasn't considered under slavery. Because, you know, if an employer had his full druthers of doing what he wanted to do, he wouldn't pay people at all. But because of the unions and the labor strikes and stuff that was going on, there had to be some kind of quid pro quo when it came to work and being compensated for such.
Okay. Thank you for that input. Mr. Davis, I want to say your turn. Workers' rights and that definition that was presented to us by Justin.
Yeah. There's so many different points in terms of workers' rights. What happens is when we look at the reality of the industrialization of the world, the industrialization of the world stemmed from the reality that it could not have happened if it wasn't for the slavocracy that existed in the Americas and throughout the world. The industry that was created for rights, where you have unions and what have you, would not have been created if the slave owners didn't amass so much money whereby they can actually have, I mean, they had enough money where they create ideas and say, this is new. So the industrialization of the world actually stemmed from slavery. That's one point. The other point is, when you're dealing with workers' rights, how about having children, underage children working without any laws where they was so not only did the parents engage in picking cotton or whatever industry that was they engaged in, from indigo, what have you, but it was the children doing it too. The children. That says a lot. This is before unions, and then at the same time, if there were unions, the unions originally wasn't for black folks. The unions had protected the interests of those kinfolk or those who looked
or had the right phenotypical appearance to be white. So it was never for black folks. So now on one end you're having children engaged in slavery, not just the parents, but the children. And the question is, Tanisha brought a very important question, how do you pay back or right that wrong where people all over the world, you have wealthy people that amass, and the wealth transfer is still to today, where you have the portfolios that was diverse, where they created new companies and new financial firms and so on and so forth. We can name some firms. We can really get into that. But we're not going to do that now. So there's still a benefit that existed as far back as slavery, but not just the parents were slaves, but the children. The children.
Mm. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. You know, Justin, I want to come back to you. And from what you've just heard from the input from the panelists, Ms. Gardner, Mr. Harris, Mr. Davis, what do you think, Justin? I mean, imagine if you had to go to work at the age that you are now and not get paid. How would that make you feel?
I guess it would make me feel kind of angry because if I'm working long hours, then I should get paid for that. And if you're not getting paid, then I think you should just quit the job if you could. I think I would just get angry because I'm not getting paid for how long I'm working.
Right, right. Yeah, and we would understand, everybody on this panel will understand the relationship of where that anger would be coming from. Now, it is time, you see, for our next segment where we are able and happy to discuss musical artists. And this segment is Curtains presented by Mr. Harris. You see, many recording artists have grown rich from being on stage and making records. But this particular segment, we talk about the contributions that a musical artist has made to the community from which they come. And with that being said, I hand it over to you, Mr. Harris, ready or not. Here you go.
Yeah, okay. All right. So today we're going to be talking about a group from Philadelphia that kind of came from nowhere, like from the bottom, and now they're on the top. You know, but this is specifically talking about Amir Thompson. You know, better known as Questlove. You know, he's one of the founding members of the Roots group. And he kind of came up kind of rough in Philly, you know, but he was also a part of the creative and performing arts, like high school down there. And, you know, and one of the things he's done amongst his other accolades is that the Board of Education cut a lot of funding and stuff for the Kappa school that he went to when he was younger, and he got together with Black Thought, his other cohort in the Roots, and they got together to create, because they cut like $11 million from the school system. They had to get rid of 19 teachers. You know, they was getting like the instruments and stuff that they needed were like getting old, and they needed to be refurbished. And you know, and he said he was modeling his philanthropy through what Bill Cosby used to do, because back in the late 80s, Spelman College was going through a big thing when they was getting ready to lose their accreditation and stuff like that, and he wrote a check for $20 million to help refurbish the campus and help get the school back on a firm footing. And he said things like that motivated him to do stuff like that. You know, so he just followed the Philadelphia, you know, pattern of people who came up. Because, you know, I don't know if anybody's even been to Philly, but Philly is mainly hood except for the Liberty Bell and that little area. you know, it's being gentrified now, but back in the day, you know, I went to school down there, so I know about what's going on down there. And he just used his influence, his dollars, to be able to help the people at the Catholic school, along with a bunch of other things he did. But we're just going to focus on that one thing today. And Amir Thompson, you know, he just won an Oscar. You know, if it wasn't for the slap, you'd have known about it. But he's a good brother, and he's out here. He's doing the right thing. And he needs to be recognized.
Absolutely. And before we play a song by The Roots, I want to get everybody's input on today's show. And before I do, I'm going to start with the Black Librarian. I want to say that the 2022 Newark Black Film Festival takes place here in Newark starting July 12th through the 17th. Again, the Newark Black Film Festival, the only Black Film Festival, the oldest Black Film Festival in the country, starts July 12th through 17th, right here in our great city of Newark. And Mr. Davis, I'd like for you to give a quick summary of today's show, keeping in mind that all the content was presented and researched by our student host, Justin Hill. What you think about today's show?
You know what? Justin Hill is a dynamic leader. Dynamic. I see that potential in Telekey, that energy in him. Great show. I like what Justin is doing.
Okay. Mr. Harris. Thank you.
Yeah, ditto. Just, you know, Justin's been coming up with some serious things, and for a young brother, that's good, because he's just going to move him further along later on in life. Great show.
Tanisha Gardner, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Thank you, because I learned a lot today. As you know, some people say old dogs cannot learn new tricks. That's a lie. You can always learn from different generations, and I definitely commend you, and I'm happy, and I'm definitely proud of you, because we know that in your hands, the next generations that's coming, that everything's going to be okay. So I just want to say thank you.
Justin, close us out.
First, I want to thank everyone for thanking me. And again, this is student host Justin Hill from WSOU. Make sure you check out our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And Quest Heat Radio is the best.
The best youth radio.
The best youth radio.
The sounds of The Roof will lead us on out. Until next week, we'll see you. Peace. Thank you for joining.
Love. Amazon. Late night, switching something, listening to Nisi sing. She got the beat for you, telling me you deeply appreciate the company, time we spent. I feel the same, it's a shame you ain't my girlfriend. So listen, you need a rubber with that physical fix that come through in the mix for you with no head tricks before. You need a new position, and who can get you open like this eucalyptus has you ready to go for yours. Come on, work with me, you won't get hurt with me. Just keep it real and you get broken off certainly. Dealing with this, you won't be taking a loss. You need to leave them alone, you fold with the one to break the wall. We started. To move my way, you sitting beside me, looking like Friday, Foster Pam, red structure, look at the body, keep each other thirsty, kisses like Hershey, but lips is still, cause we don't need a controversy, I say I'm in town, you say you want it in the worst way, you probably told your man it wasn't your birthday, meanwhile, the champagne, chilling the ice, you ready for the freakiest things you done in your life, we breaking down like a road dog, pulling the heist,